says chariots and horses of fire came down. You see, all through Scripture, the Lord shows up and does things in fire and through fire and by fire, constantly calling us back to the understanding that there's something more available in Him. Church family, Christianity shouldn't be boring. Right? You're in covenant relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth. Right? If your walk with the Lord is boring, you're not doing your part in that covenant relationship. Because if your marriage is boring, it's because you're not doing your part in your marriage, right? Like, if you're really engaging your spouse, and if you're really celebrating them, and if you're really enjoying them, and if you're really connecting with them, marriage is not boring. I'm going on 20 years next year, and I'm crazier about my wife now than I've ever been. Right? I don't like going away and being apart from her because I'm more and more in love with her. As much as I'm more and more in love with her, I'm more and more in love with the Lord. And there's something in me that wants to see that passed on, which is why this year at 12 years old, I'm taking my daughter on her first missions trip, on the trip that Dan's doing to the Dominican Republic. I'm taking Finley on that trip at 12 years because I want her to get out and see what God can do through her. I want her to get out and experience God ministering and moving, not just here in America, but to the uttermost ends of the earth. And I want her to get that fire. And I want Quinn to get that fire. And I want Oliver someday when he's older to get that fire in them that's in me. Because let me just tell you, church family, there are some people that don't want the fire. They don't care about the fire. They're not interested in the fire. When I was growing up, you know, I had a pastor at my home church. We had been in this amazing outpouring of God. The Lord had moved, and we were doing revival services on Friday nights and Monday nights and prayer meetings and all this different stuff. And eventually that faded away. And that pastor left and went somewhere else, and another pastor came in. And when that other pastor came in, I would go to him and be like, hey, are we going to do altar time? And he'd be like, no, no, not this week. And I would go to him and be like, hey, are you going to do a prayer meeting? No, no, not this week. And I was like, my heart, right at 14, 15, 16, 17, I wanted more. I wanted more. And I would go to him, and you know what he said one day? One day he goes, you know, I love your passion. I love how excited you are now. But when you get older, that will fade. When you get older, you'll settle down and get into your groove with God, and you'll just walk with Him faithfully. I'm 45 this year. It hasn't faded, right? Like, I have no desire for it to fade. I don't want it to go away. I don't want it to go away, Bethel. I didn't come here because I wanted to just pastor and settle down and live in a nice town and raise my kids in a good Christian school. I came here because God called me to this house because I believe there was something in your hearts that you want that's the same thing in my heart that I want, and that is the power and presence of the living God. That's all I want. That's what I want for Bethel. Listen, other churches are doing a great job with programs. They're doing a great job with all the extras. They're doing a great job with sound and music and smoke and stages and fancy dress and all this. I don't care about any of that. That's all going to fade. Right? There isn't a program that's going to matter when we stand before the Lord, who when He comes back, the Bible says He's going to have fire in His eyes. Right? When we stand before Him and give an account for all the stuff we've done in our life, no program we went to in our church, no 12-week this or 8-week that is going to matter. What will matter is our personal relationships with Him and what we've done in that covenant. That's all that will matter. Everything else is gone. Right? You can't take your car, you can't take your house, you can't take your job. We can't even take our families. It's up to them individually. Right? My kids can't ride my coattail into heavenly glory. They've got to have a walk with the Lord. They have to know Jesus the way I do. They have to hunger and long for more of God the way I do. That's the only way it happens. And it has to be that way in us individually, where it's not just coming into this place on a Sunday, but it's in our lives every day where we're like, Lord, I want you today. Lord, I'm restless. I'm unsatisfied. I refuse to give up or give in. Lord, I look around at what's going on and my heart is grieved because I believe your heart is grieved. I can't tell you how much it has hurt me in the last 2 years to watch so many amazing, what I thought was amazing leaders of the kingdom of God, people that I followed, people that I sought counsel from, to watch them fall in this issue or that issue. It only makes me in my heart all the more go, Lord, help me stay pure. Help me stay right. Help me stay on track, because I don't want this in my life and my family. Right? There should be something in us that stirs us to want the fire of God to fall and move, and for the Lord to have his way in our lives. You see it when Solomon finally gets the temple set up. Right? When he's preparing and when he's doing everything and he finally gets it all there, right? In 2 Chronicles, you see, or sorry, in Yeah, it's 2 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles. Let me think for a second. Hang on. 2 Chronicles 7. Right, you see that the fire of God comes down. There, thank you. Right, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Right, with that fire came God's glory. That's what we need. Right, if we want to see Durham changed, if we want to see Raleigh changed, if we want to see America changed, we need to understand that God's fire goes where his glory goes. You don't get the glory of God without the fire of God. Right, let me just say that to you. You don't get to jump into God's glory when your life is full of stank. You don't. No, he's perfect. He's pure. He's holy in every way. He is worthy of awe. And so we don't get to just walk into that. Listen, church family, if God wouldn't even allow Israel to have their poos in the camp, right? Read it. In Leviticus, the Lord says, take all of your human waste outside the camp and bury it, because when I come, there can't be anything unholy or unworthy. Israel, as they were following that pillar of fire by night, they literally had to take time to constantly go outside the camp and get rid of their stuff. Because when God came to bring his glory, it started with his fire. And they didn't get one without the other. That's why when people turn against Moses, what does it say? It says the earth opened up and swallowed the sons of Korah, but then those that were with them, 500 in number, were consumed by the fire of God. Consumed by the fire of God. When Israel turns against Moses and Aaron has to run and offer incense on behalf of their wickedness, what does it say? It says the fire of God started consuming the people. 12,000 died. And Aaron runs out there with a censer full of the incense that he had taken from the tabernacle, and he stands between the living and the dead. He puts himself in the place to stop God's consuming from consuming more. He puts himself in between those that weren't worthy and those that he believed were. He puts himself in that place and stands before the Lord on behalf of everyone. As a community of believers, that's what we're called to, right? We're called to be God's ambassadors. We're called priests and kings on behalf of the Lord. So it's our place, not just to come into church, into the tabernacle, into the temple of God on Sundays. It's our job to go out into society and culture and put ourselves between the living and the dead. That's what the Lord calls for us to do. And Jesus made that possible for us because Jesus made the fire of God available for everyone. Jesus took the fire that was manifest in the Old Testament and in the original Testament in all these different ways. He took that fire and made it available for all of us. In Matthew chapter 3, in verse 10, it says, the axe is already at the root of the tree. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. There's fire again. In verse 11, John says, I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And fire. Because the Holy Spirit is supposed to be in us a fire. Right? He's supposed to burn in our hearts. That's why in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, what does it say? Right? It says, tongues of fire rested on each of them. It doesn't say a giant flame came down in the whole building. No, it says fire came on each one. I carry it in me. Gwen carries it in her. Carol carries it. Sharon carries it. My daughter Finley carries it, right? Dan carries it. Every one of us have our own individual relationship with Holy Spirit that should be in us, a fire that keeps us ignited for the coming of the Lord. It should keep us burning for the presence of God. And the Lord calls us to keep burning, right? The Lord calls us to keep that fire burning. The command that he gave the Levites concerning the tabernacle and the temple, right? In Leviticus, the Lord says, don't let the fire burn out. Leviticus 6:12, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. So every morning the priest would add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offering, right? Every day they had to keep the fire going. Not one day a week, right? They didn't just go in on the high holy day and restock the fire. No, every day it was up to the Levites to keep the fire burning. Every day it was up to the Levites to stock the fire and to keep it going because the presence of the Lord might come at any time. The Lord might come down at any time to have a conversation with Moses. The Lord might show up at any time. So that fire and those offerings had to be ready at all times. And that's how the Lord desires for it to be in our lives today. The Lord desires for us to continue to burn. That's why when Paul was writing Timothy, a young man coming up in the church, what does he say to him? Right, for this reason, I remind you, Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God that's in you through the laying on of hands. Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, it's in you, right? That little ember is in there, so now fan that thing. Fan it, Timothy, right? Fan it into flame so that it will burn, so that it won't go out. Because so many people have burned in the past, but have now allowed themselves to burn up. They haven't kept the fire going, right? One of the most non-fire but easiest ways for me to describe this to you that I genuinely believe is, of course, God created it. So I believe it's a description even he gave us. Right, the Jordan River comes down out of the mountains and flows into the Sea of Galilee. The Jordan River brings life with it out of those mountains. It brings nutrients, right? It brings minerals, brings all these things out of the mountains, right? From where the snow is melted and the spring rains, and it pours into the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is teeming with life. My wife and I have been on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Our friend Stephanie was there. Like fish everywhere. It's gorgeous and green. And you get like half a mile away and it's like dead. But right there on the edge of the Sea of Galilee, there's life. It's full of life everywhere. And the Jordan River flows into the Sea of Galilee, and the Jordan River flows out of the Sea of Galilee. And it flows all the way down then along the rest of the border of Israel, and it flows into one other place, the Dead Sea. All of the life that's in that river flowing into the Dead Sea does what there? It dies. It all dies in the Dead Sea. And you want to know why? It's because there's no outlet. It's only pouring in. It's never pouring out. It's only coming down. It's never going through. And so because of that, all the life that's poured in, all of the stuff that comes in dies there. And there are so many Christians, right, that have been coming to church for generations, but them themselves have never actually allowed the Lord to flow through them to impact anyone else for his kingdom. So all the years of teaching and all the years of worship and all the years of Bible reading and all that stuff has flown in and flown in and flown in, and it's all died inside them. Because they haven't allowed any of that to flow out of them to impact the homeless or their neighbor or their coworker or an unsaved family member or a good friend that they know isn't saved. And so that all of that life that flows in eventually dies in them. All that wisdom and all that knowledge goes nowhere else. And because it has no outlet, it dies away. When I was thinking about this, I thought about the great man of God, John Wesley. Right? He used to say, I just go into a field and set myself on fire and people come and watch me burn. But he also said this about the Methodist Church. My fear is not that our great movement, known as the Methodist, will eventually cease to exist or one day die from the earth. My fear is that our people will become content to live without the fire. Without the power, without the excitement, without the supernatural elements that make us great. The founder of the Methodist Church goes, my great fear for the Methodist Church is that someday it will be boring. And let me just ask you, how do you view the Methodist Church? As fellow Christians, do you see it as a place that's full of the power? Do you see it as a place that's full of excitement? Do you see it as a place that's full of supernatural elements? Do you see it as a place that's full of fire or not? And if the answer is not, then it's because those that fire was entrusted to allowed it to die out and didn't continue to fan the flame. They didn't continue to pour in and pursue what God was so worthy of. And here's the thing, right? I know at times this message might come across as like really heavy. That's not my heart and my intent. My life now is very different than it was when I was younger. Right, when I was a part of the outpouring at Brownsville, I went to church six nights a week. Right, I never missed a service for 2.5 years, six nights a week. Right, I served in before service in the prayer team. I served in the altar ministry after service. So most of our church services, I was in the sanctuary from 6 p.m. to midnight. For six nights a week for 2.5 years without missing. I didn't miss a single service while I was there. And in that time, I couldn't have told you what movies were playing in theaters. I couldn't have told you what the top 10 hits were on the radio. I couldn't have told you what the latest TV shows were. I didn't care. I didn't care about any of those things. I cared about being there night after night, watching people flock to the altars, watching people get touched by the power and the presence of God. And it was awesome, and it was wonderful, but it was just a season in my life. Now I'm 45. I have three kids. One of them is 9 months old, and he's a chunk. Right, he's a chunk 9-month-old. I'm tired at the end of the day after carrying that kid around. Right, I'm worn out just going up and down the stairs of my townhouse. Right, does that mean I'm any less passionate for God than I was when I was 18? No, it means I'm in a different place in life. And a lot of you in this room are in different places in life, but in the place you're in, you can be passionate and on fire for God. You can allow the Lord to move in you and use you where you are now. God doesn't have to change a bunch of stuff. He knows where you are. He knows if you work 60 hours a week. He knows if your job is high stress. He knows if you're retired and you sleep in the mornings and go to bed early at night. He knows how you spend your time. And the awesome thing is it doesn't take a lot to fan that flame. If you just start saying to the Lord, Lord, use me today. When you wake up in the morning, say, Lord, what would you like me to do with you today? If you see someone in need, go, Lord, should I give to bless that person? When you feel someone's name stirred up in your heart, you say, Lord, I'm gonna give them a text. I'm gonna give them a call and check on them. Right, all of a sudden you start opening up those little things. What are you doing? You're like, right, you're fanning that flame. Right, you're starting to give God opportunity for his gifts to be made manifest and come alive in you. And as you do that more and more, the Lord will do more and more. Because the Lord wants a people of fire. The Lord wants a people that are living wholly for him. He's looking for a church that can burn together in the greatness of who he is, not who they are. We can put tremendous talent on this stage. Talent doesn't supersede character in the kingdom of God. Ever. Ever. There's tons of talent out there in the world that don't have character, and because of that, they're not being used by the Lord. Because to the Lord, that character matters in his giftings being poured out. It matters to the Lord that we're living lives pursuing him and following after him, and we're living in that way that honors who he is in us, to us, and through us. And as we have character, God can give gifts anytime. Right? Corinthians tells us the Lord gives gifts as he sees fit to each one. Right? There have been times in my life where I've had gifts that have been manifest in a greater scale than I have right now. I don't understand why. But for that season, I walked in those gifts and I saw God do that. When we were in Bradenton a couple of weeks ago, Matt McAfee ministered. It was awesome. He shared and he was, you know, praying over people on the altars and ministering. And I walked by and he came over to me and he goes, I also want you to start praying for people. Just start laying hands on people. I was like, okay, great, thanks. And so I started going here and there to like some different ones that the Lord would lay on my heart. And church family, it was so beautiful. As I would go up to pray over them, as I would go up to minister to them, the Lord would give me a little word of wisdom, a little word of knowledge for that person. One young lady in particular, she actually came back to me after the service to share with me. I saw the Lord removing from her a like, basically a source of like heartbreak, a source of difficulty, all this different stuff out of her life. And I went over and I said, I feel like the Lord is taking out of your life this individual and he's putting you in a safe place for you to grow with the family of God. And like her eyes were like little grapefruits, you know? And the girl that was there beside her like just didn't say anything. She just stared at me. And I said, can I pray for you? And she's like, yeah. So I laid hands on her and I prayed over her. After service, she comes over to me and she goes, I know you don't know me. And I was like, no, I didn't even know her name. I said, what's your name? She gave it to me. And she said, I just need you to know that was God when you came to me earlier. And I was like, awesome. Thank the Lord. She goes, my dad has been removed from my life because he was abusing me. And I was just like, oh. And she was like, it just happened this week. And she was like, this is my first time back in church since everything was finalized. And she was like, the fact that God had you come and share that with me, she was like, I know God's watching out for me. Church family, that's the fire of God. Right? That simple word from the Lord is going to sustain that young lady through difficult seasons ahead. It's going to help her know that the Lord is watching out over her. That's what God wants to do in us, to us, and through us. It's not just about what happens here inside the four walls of the church. The Lord wants that to happen in our everyday lives, out in the community, among our neighbors, out in the stores and in the restaurants, as we're staying sensitive to the Lord, as we're honoring him. The Lord wants to use us for his glory. He can do it on his own. The Lord can do it without us. I've met people that have literally gotten saved directly from Jesus coming to them in dreams or in visions and sharing with them who he is. But that's not commonly the way the Lord allows people to be brought into his kingdom. It's through us bearing testimony and sharing with others how amazing and how wonderful and how great God is. That's how the Lord predominantly grows his kingdom. And my challenge to you this morning, whether you're here in this room, whether you're watching online, even if you watch this 2 years from now, my challenge to you is burn for the Lord. Burn for the Lord. Allow God to fan into flame the gifts that are in you. Allow him to fan into flame the fullness of the Holy Spirit that is in you, that you would burn. Because I promise, if you allow the Lord to burn in you, you will not be consumed. The Lord knows how to burn things and not consume them. And I, as a community, I want to be a church that's unified through that burning desire for the Lord. And let me ask the worship team to make their way back up. While they're doing that, if you could put that John Hagee quote up. I found this and I thought it was so good. John Hagee said, a church can be unified in one of two ways. You can freeze together or you can melt together with the fire of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I didn't move here to freeze. Although winter was more snowy than normal, I didn't move here to freeze. I moved here to burn. I moved here for the fire of God to come and be known. And this morning, we're going to go back into a worship time together. And in just a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you would like me and Miss Carol or any of our altar team to pray with you for the fire of God to be renewed in your life, for the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, for salvation, if you've not gotten saved and you don't personally know the Lord, today can be the day of salvation for you. But in just a minute, I'm going to give opportunity for people that want prayer to come forward. And I'm going to make sure every single one that desires prayer gets prayer. For whatever it may be today. And then we're going to go into a time of transition and hear from Michael and Christy. But if you would, just stand with me. Lord, as we enter into this moment of worship, I ask that you would come and you would minister to each and every one today, that you would draw us up in you. Holy Spirit, bring the fire of God into this place that we might be set ablaze with you.